Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hi, everybody. I'm Kimmy. Oh my fucking God. Are you kidding me?
Leave it in.
Do you know why? I was writing your name in my notes. I was saying second sticks for Kimmy. And Liza for the class.
You must leave this.
And I was typing your name, and you know when you're typing a thing and it comes out of your mouth. Oh,
beautiful.
Hi, I'm going to leave this in because fucking who cares? Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy. And we're joined by Carlin. Thank you for being here again, Carlin. We're pumped. This is 51 First Dates. I forgot that part.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Guys, we're already doing so well.
Crushing it.
How is it going to get better? We're so happy you're here. I'm happy to be talking to you guys on this Sunday of daylight savings, where I feel like a sun goddess because it's still light out at 4:30 on the East Coast.
It's so late.
And I know, right? I feel like a zombie, even though it was only an hour difference and I still slept in. I don't know. I'm struggling with the time difference, though I'm very grateful for the sun. And we're very grateful for you. Let's do some quick biz so we don't bore Carlin / all of you, actually. We love all the fun support you've been giving us, including reviews, because we got a review that told us we weren't inclusive because we don't like Trumpy things. And so thank you for flooding our Apple reviews with, you know, nicer reviews that are a little bit more fair, I will say. I got a little angsty about that. I'll never grow up and just move on. We are so glad that you're reading our newsletter, Precious Gems, on Substack. We will link it, but please keep tuning in. This last week, I tried to connect Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's interview and Married at First Sight and like the awfulness there. It was a little rough, but read that one. And follow us on Instagram at 51 First Dates Pod, where I feel like I'm trying to do more fun things. You be the judge of that. And join our secret Facebook group. We have some very juicy listener questions from that. Liza, am I doing okay? I'm doing better than normal, but not as well as you do.
You're crushing it. No, you're absolutely doing this in like 50% of the words I usually take to do anything. But yes, please check out all of these amazing things. They're all linked below. And we appreciate you much. And we're going to jump into Consumption Corner. But as a reminder, based on a listener's suggestion, we are now putting all of our Consumption Corner picks into the newsletter. So if we talk about stuff and you're like, hey, I would like to listen to that and click a link to do it, you can subscribe to the newsletter and like it'll be at the bottom, even if you don't want to read the newsletter.
Yeah.
It's
free. You'll get one email a week. Sometimes an extra discussion thread, but you can always unsubscribe. But please stay subscribed and tell your friends. I think it's fun. It's more fun the more involved you all get. So thank you. And before we hop into Consumption Corner, we are going to, today on the docket, our agenda for this episode is an update from Carlin about Mr. Old Fashioned, to juicy listener questions with text exchanges that we are going to read back and forth. I think that'll be fun. A lot going on in the secret Facebook group, and I think, Carlin, we can get into this more, but just generally a lot of themes in pandemic dating where we have to be more reliant on texting and developing text chemistry, and even once you've hung out with someone, you know, understanding that the way someone communicates or meets your needs or does not meet your needs on text versus real life, that seems to be a theme. Basically, a lot of dudes out there fucking up because they say certain things on text and they don't do them IRL. But we have, I think, we're going to try to explore that theme of who are you on text versus who are you in real dates and life. But we won't do it that deeply. Okay. Is that about right? That's kind of what we're exploring. Great.
Carlin's left. She's like, guys, I'll Jesus.
These bitches just going on and on. Okay. Yeah. Shall we jump into consumption?
Yeah. Who's going first?
I watched
Carlin,
the
talking.
Yes. I always feel like I'm so bad at this because I always watch things that are like several days, months, years late. But I finally watched The Flight Attendant on HBO. I didn't know what I think sometimes I'm pretty sure it's described as like a comedy, which it's not that it wasn't funny. I don't know. It was I mean, it was really good, but I think maybe like my biggest takeaway, and maybe because like just like personally like seeing this like reflected in like my mom is Scotch, like the alcoholism. Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah,
that poor girl. Like, it was, I feel like I've never seen like such a depiction of that, like where the focus isn't like them like going to mm-hmm. It's like seeing how it actually is like happening in life and like these little bits and pieces where people in like other people in her life are like telling her like, you have a problem. And it's like, no, I don't. And even for a while, I was like, no, she doesn't. She's fine. But then as the episodes go along, it's like, oh my goodness, you should get that checked out, which I don't think was like the point of the series. But I think it was still actually like really well done, at least, you know, from someone mm-hmm. who like doesn't suffer from alcoholism. But I don't know. I just like that to me was like, I feel like I learned a lot from that. Like, wow, it can just like kind of slip away. It also made me want to be like a flight attendant. I was like, I don't really like my job right now. So what if I did this? And like, would that be fun for me? It wouldn't.
Carlin, maybe that's it.
I don't know.
Carlin and I were texting about like, right. How do we get different jobs?
Right. Like, how do we manifest like our dream situations? I don't think, I don't know. But on the topic of like getting up early and like, yeah. I could like do that. I wouldn't be like offended by that. I could do that. Oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know. It's a good point, though, that show, like, about that, the fact that show was about alcoholism, but it wasn't about someone trying to get sober. Like, alcoholism wasn't the central, like, mission of the protagonist. Like, mm-hmm. That is a very kind of interesting thing. And, yeah, it was, that series was cool, man. I always like when I watch something and I'm like, oh, there's nothing else like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Right. And then I was also like, how are they doing a second season? Like, does she always see? Also, the guy, the actor of the guy that something bad happens to, spoiler alert, hold on, sure everybody's watched it. I've obviously seen that actor before. And I was like, you're way too hot to be killed off. Like, for some, and I was like, they're going to extend this somehow. And then when they finally did, I was like, oh, okay, there you go. Cause I was like, this doesn't add up.
That guy is stupid hot.
Right? It is stupid.
But like, also, if he got murdered in a bed next to me, I'd also be like, you could come back and haunt me. That would be fine. Like, I would, you know, let's get it going.
You got the sight. You could have a
right.
Fall.
Like, it would be. I'd be like, I'll see you in my dreams later tonight.
It'll be Ghost. The remake of Ghost that I'm sure is coming at some point.
So I feel like you can't remake that movie because like what makes it so good are like the shoddy visuals mm-hmm. and yeah. I mean mainly the shoddy visuals of like the ghosts and everything. Not Patrick Swayze's ghost, but the other ghosts. The demons, I guess. Anyway.
Mm. Carlin, can I just bring it back to you being a flight attendant? I actually think you'd crush it. Because
oh
you
my gosh,
are
thank you.
Like I guess I don't know a ton about the job outside of this show, but the way you're same. A giver and I think you're thoughtful, like I think you'd do that in a way with like passengers who were like, you'd know what to get them, especially like a fancy flight attendant. I feel like you would just really crush it. I see it. I'm not saying you have to do it, but I see it and I like it. And I would love
definitely
to fly
have
with
to
you.
Be a fancy one. I think also while I am like a giver, I am just like a skosh sassy and have a bit of an attitude. So like if I got someone like mm-hmm. speaking of being fair and covering all bases, like a Trump person like in my aisle, and they were talking, I'd be like, "Ma'am, you got to get the fuck out of my face. Like I'm not coming back over here. Please stop talking to me like that and looking at me like that."
Yeah.
So I would just feel, or if they were, you know, just started spouting like conspiracy theories, I would be like, oh, God,
That's like why you would be so good at it, though. Like, I feel like flight attendants also have to be fucking badasses and like be able to be like, no, sir, you're drunk. Like, sit down, put your mask over your nose.
You're right.
Like, you're done.
You have to be like a fancy, mean mom, which is totally my brand. Like, you know, come on. Oh my gosh, is this my future?
It might be your future. Like, I would, like, if you were the flight attendant, not fancy enough for you, Carlin, but if you happened to be on an early moment in your flight attendant career on that plane with Ted Cruz going to Cancun, I would love to watch that.
Oh my gosh.
The tact with which, yeah, like, but yet the sass, but yet the everyone else loves you, that would be, I want to watch that video.
How do you not call him out on, like, the mic? I would have been up there like, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to point out the fact that Ted Cruz is on this flight, leaving his hometown of Texas while everybody doesn't have any power. Let's give a round of applause to this motherfucker. Like, I don't care. Fire me. Take me down. Yes. Take me down but on then, this plane. Like,
but then the clip would go viral and be on, like, Good Morning America and all this. It would be great.
And it would be amazing. Oh my gosh, yes.
I still wish.
Well, we solved your career problem.
Great.
We're doing I have so concerns well. About getting up that early, so we'll think about mine next week.
I wish there was an unscripted flight attendant show. I would love to watch a reality. Or
there was for there a while was. When we were in like middle school and high school, and it was about Southwest specifically. And I remember it because I used to watch it with my aunt.
Whoa.
And yeah, we both just happened to, it was like on some, it was on TNT or some shit, whatever. Guys, when, well, Kimmy's doing, well, Kimmy's going with Consumption Corner. I'll look up what it's called because I want to shout it. It wasn't like very good. It was like an early reality show. But like, I loved it because I was like, what are these people's lives like? It's such a wild job to have.
Yeah.
But
I'm so mad that I missed that. I totally want to go back and see if it's.
Well, I'm sure somewhere. It's like on Hulu now. I'm going to pull up the name. Kimmy, do you have any consumption to consumption?
A really good way to ask that question because I really don't have any this week. And I'm so sorry. So I'm going to maybe shout out some like aspirational things I really want to consume. I just haven't been watching any TV that's new. I've been watching old 30 Rock. I watched the pilot the other day, which was just like, it's all funnier because of the Eladia, Alec Baldwin of it all. Like, I don't know. But I think aspirationally, I had some friends talking about, heard some friends yesterday talking about the Woody Allen, Mia Farrow doc series on HBO. And I think the last episode, the fourth episode is coming out. So I, as I think trigger warning, obviously, I'm really curious about that. I will cop to the fact that when like, certain accusations came out about Woody Allen probably like what however many years ago, like I was like a young girl in New Yorker who like wanted to be in film, and I was kind of like, no, there's no way that could be. And I'm interested to see how my perspective has changed. Like, I feel like we've made some progress. Like, if ignorant little me who likes to get her panties in a bunch about anything and everything was like kind of defensive of him, which is disgusting, I'd like to watch it. I'd like to see it. I've heard it's disturbing, but that's aspirational. I also have seen like no Oscar movies, so I have two more aspirationals. And one, I think this is my last day. Judas and the Black Messiah is on HBO Max and in theaters, and I think this is like the last day it's on HBO Max. So it's Sunday, so by the time this comes out. But so that's like, Kimmy, you must watch. And then I haven't seen Nomadland yet, but I will watch it, but Liza, have you seen it? Okay.
I have,
I'm curious your thoughts. I'm not jazzed to watch it because I am. I want to support, you know, amazing female filmmakers, but I don't know if it's my vibe right now. But also Minari, that's the other one. I feel that little boy is so darn cute. So I'm sorry, these are all aspirational, but I feel broadly like these are movies I've heard enough good feedback on that I can recommend them, even though I haven't seen them yet. So that's mine.
Well, I can vouch for Nomadland. It's not as heavy as I thought it would be. It's really beautiful. It like crept up on me. In the beginning, I was like, this is going to be slow but beautiful. But like, I think I know what it's going to be. But it just wasn't. It was like all done with a very like light touch that I really appreciate. Like it didn't feel like, I don't know why I thought it was going to be annoying. Not annoying, but I was just like, I feel like this like vagabond, I think it's like the vagabond category of movies has never really hit me. It's just never been my thing. Like, I love a road trip movie. I love it. Like, there's like these kind of clumps of movie topics. There's just not infinite ones. And like, vagabond movies are not my thing. It's really, really good. I really liked it. And it's very pretty just to look at. I also want to watch those other movies. And also, guys, I have an important update. This reality show was on A&E from 2004 to 2005. Yeah. It was called Airline. And I can't, I don't think it's streaming anywhere.
Well, A&E, you got to get it out there because we all want to watch it.
Yeah. Who owns A&E? Maybe it's on somebody's streaming service.
Nobody. Disney and Hearst.
Oh, that's such a good
thing. So it won't go.
Come on, Disney Plus.
All of their stuff is on Discovery
Plus.
Can you
imagine seeing that on Disney Plus? That'd be so funny.
People are like, what the fuck is this?
And then I'd watch it.
However, you know, it ran for one season and I guess nobody liked it as much as me and my aunt.
Sorry, this is really rude. I'm interrupting, but I wanted to see if either of you have watched this because I don't recommend it. The Marriage or Mortgage show on Netflix that's getting pumped.
Saw like an ad for it and like just like the picture of it. I don't know. I was like, what is this about? Is this like whether or not you spend the money on the wedding or you buy a house?
Yeah, down payment or wedding. So like the one episode I watched, it was like $30,000 budget. And then the one woman does the house finding and then the other woman does the wedding planning. But they don't like you. They're not you're not HGTV. You guys aren't crushing this. Like the format's not right. No one's compelling. The couple makes a stupid decision, in my opinion. Like, I just don't recommend it. That's all. Sorry. I just have to get that out there.
It got served to me. It's getting advertised to me hard. And I almost watched it, so I'm glad to have a firsthand take
Instead
on that.
Of, like, flipping back and forth between the two women being like, this is what your wedding would be like. This is what the house would. They do it in chunks. So you first learn all about what the wedding options are and then about the house options. And I'm just like, when is the house not a better decision? Like, that money could appreciate. Yeah. Any money you put into a wedding is going bye-bye. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, like that wedding, like, better have like Beyonce as like a guest and a performer or something. Like, I'd really to be like, you know, oh gosh, I don't know how to decide. But if it's just like, you know, a regular like run of the mill, I'd be like, I'd obviously get the house. Like, I don't know.
Buy the house and then just have the wedding at the house.
Yeah.
It's like you'll have an empty house. You can throw a party.
Right. Oh
there.
My God. You know? You're right.
Get spend a couple hundred bucks on alcohol and go to Costco and get some chips.
Costco.
Boom.
Honestly, that's so true.
You know? Okay.
Sorry. I just had to.
My other – no. I'm really, really glad to have perspective on that because I almost hit go on it. And then I started watching Chappelle's Show, which just came on to Netflix.
Ooh.
And it was a good decision. Yes,
it
validated.
Was.
The other thing, I watched two documentaries this week because I'm very erudite. I'm just kidding. I just truly am like so out of TV shows. If anyone out there has any good, like, I've watched so much TV and I'm running out. So my recommendations for those. Oh, so the first one is Crip Camp, which have either of you guys seen that?
Mm-mm. No.
It's also on Netflix. It's about a summer camp for... It's like on the surface, it's about a summer camp for physically disabled people in the 60s. And it was like this hippie kind of heaven where all of these kids who had various physical disabilities were able to go. And they loved it there. It was like this hippie haven paradise. They were all like smoking weed with the counselor. It was very like crunchy 60s vibes, like outdoor. Like it was a very like cool scene. And then the same group of people became like the biggest group of disability rights activists, and they were like the only reason the Americans with Disabilities Act got passed. Mm-hmm. They started this massive political movement, and they had like sit-ins, and they occupied the town hall in San Francisco for like 12 days, and it was like full like 60s 70s like activism in all of its glory. And it was the core people were these people who went to camp together and realized like, oh, like people with disabilities should be able to live a life that is similar to people without disabilities, like go to public schools and use public transportation. Like they go into the backstory of some of these people who were at the camp who became activists. And they were like, when they were five and their mothers brought them to the public schools were just like, sorry, like she's in a wheelchair, so we can't, like, she can't get anywhere. And also, like, it might be a fire hazard. Like, if there's a fire, what are we going to do? And, like, they just couldn't go to public school. Like, it's wild for people like us who didn't know this world. But it just was really, really cool and super well done. And it's on Netflix. And I definitely like wept at the end. It was very like, you just want them to get this bill passed so much. It hit a lot of like very deep heartstrings. So that was the first one. And then I also watched such a fun documentary, and I'm trying to pull up what it was called, called Made You Look, also on Netflix, which is about a huge art con. This woman, these people who sold like $80 million of fake art, like Jackson Pollock's and these like really big artists. And they pulled this huge con on like the wealthiest art connoisseurs. And it's all like super fancy, bougie, you know, billionaires who are like buying this. Like they basically conned the fanciest gallery in New York, the fanciest art dealership in New York. It's not called a dealership, that's for cars. They conned the fanciest art dealer in New York to like sell these paintings. And so all of these really rich and fancy people bought them because the dealer like vouched for them, and there's all this stuff, whatever. It's just really fun and really good and really well made. And it was a rare thing that like, it's not trash, it's like a very well made documentary, but it doesn't make you it's like fun, because it's just like, well, you guys are idiots, you shouldn't be spending $8 million on a painting. Like, the world doesn't need you to do that. Like, there's a lot of better things you could do with $8 million. So for me, you know, uber rich people, I don't care too much if they lose $8 million, and it was fun and funny. And also, I love con artist stuff. Like, I think it's just like fascinating how con artists work. I'm gonna get conned because I'm talking about this right now, but it just was like fun. I don't know. There was something about it where it's very fucked up. No one should commit crimes, but it was like an art heist, but it's a real thing that happened in like 2010. So, and I had never heard of it, even though I like lived in New York for part of that. Anyway, very, very fun. Would highly recommend, both on Netflix.
We're going to have to watch that one.
I very much want to watch that.
Yeah, it just is like, there's like this question about if the woman who worked at the art dealership was, basically it's like, is this art dealer in on it, or is she an idiot? And like, that to me is a fun thing. Like, it's almost like Serial, when you were like, did Adnan do it? Like, every time they came back to this woman, I was like, are you dumb or are you so smart? And like, that was like a fun thing to play. So like, high recommendation for both of those.
Very yes. Very yes. Okay. Very yes. That's great. I'm inspired. I promise I won't be delinquent next week.
You don't need to watch. We've all been sitting inside watching content for a year. It's okay if you need like a content break.
That's I don't even know what I've been doing with my time though otherwise. So working, I guess.
Okay. Let's get into our Mistral Fashion update. Oh, yeah. And then we'll take a break right after.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I have Carlin, you want to tell us for this one? And I guess just to, before it's queued up or whatever. So this taxi cab was recorded after like the cookie date. So we had like had that like kerfuffle where we were going to have the dinner date, and then he decided to go on a ski trip and send me that fucking bro emoji that I hate. but then we made up and had a conversation about like my needs and like why that wasn't cool with me, and then had the cookie date, and that was really nice. And then this taxi cab happened.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
So I'm doing another recording post a non-existent date with Mr. Old Fashioned. This time he had gone out with friends or something the night before, and I guess drank too much, and so he's incredibly hungover. Which, obviously, I mean, we've all been there, but he's so hungover that we can't hang out today. And I'm just, I'm not having fun. And he wouldn't even tell me that, like, you know, oh, I'm too hungover, we can't hang out today. It was like 4 p.m. and I was like, so I'm assuming we're not hanging out. And he was like, you're right, I just feels like so shitty. So it's like, why do I have to like bring it up and confirm that we're not hanging out? Like, it's essentially like I'm rejecting myself because he can't do it or doesn't want to do it. I don't know. I just, there are moments where he's so like emotionally mature and like shows emotional intelligence, as Bennett would reference. But then there are moments like this where I'm like, dude, how old are you? And he's 29, by the way.
God damn it.
God damn it.
Yeah. I'm laughing because you ended it with just a sigh. Which at the end was just like,
Which that's what I feel like. And anytime someone's like, how's it going, Mr. Old Fashioned? I'm just like,
Yeah.
Well, it was. This is a pet peeve of mine when people don't actually bail. Like when people like make you ask. You know?
Yeah, we talk about this with first dates all the time. And then it's a stranger, so I almost have more sympathy. Carlin, warning, just based on that taxi cab, which I haven't heard until right now, I'm going to be a little harsh on him for a moment, but then you can update us. I feel like when this happens, even with a first date, there's kind of a point where you're like, you shouldn't have to pull teeth. This aligns with both of the text conversations we're going to read from two different listener questions of like, you shouldn't have to pull teeth. Like, it's just respect at the end of the day for your time. And I thought it was telling when you said, like, this is not fun. And he's not making it fun. And I don't think – it feels like he knows better. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of excuses for just being like, yeah, I guess I'm too hungover. You shouldn't have to ask for that. This isn't very clear, but basically I'm pissed.
Yeah, I think it was just, and I feel like even when I say it, like, you know, oh, well, he's hungover. So it's not like the being hungover. Like Hattie said, like, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I drank way too much last night. I don't feel well enough to hang out today, but if we could do something else and like, let's do like easy peasy. Like I can't. But like he couldn't say that. And by the way, like when I texted him at like 4 p.m., like, so we're not hanging out, like he had already texted me like at 10 a.m. saying that he was hungover. So there were like several hours for him to like say something. But most of the texts throughout the day were like, you know, oh, hangovers, like day long hangovers, like, you know, so like I obviously like setting it up like, oh, hey, I don't feel well. We can't hang out today. But like, you can't just say it. Which then either like, so, you know, I'm going to be like, you know, that you did something like, quote unquote, wrong. And so you don't want to like fess up to it. So, but then you're going to make me do it. So then it's just like two like levels of like disrespect and like just so, I kept thinking of the word like thoughtless. Like there's just like no thought there whatsoever. And if there's like a skosh of a thought, it's like only for himself and like how to like make, you know, make good out of this. And then afterwards, when he was like, yeah, we're not hanging out, he's like, talk tomorrow, like for FaceTime. And I just didn't say anything. It's like, why the, no. I should have just said, no, I'm not interested in that. If you want to get your shit together and like see me in person, then you can let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the frustrating thing is like when people say like, you know, oh, I'm too busy. Like that's his thing a lot. Like, you know, oh, he works late, which I totally get. But then anything like, unless you're like literally working like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like anything else that you do, like you make a choice, like you, he chooses to do all these things. Like, I mean, I don't know the exact like equation of what makes me hungover, but like, I would know like, oh, do I need to do anything tomorrow? Nope. Let's get crazy. Like, you know, that's. I mean, I think you learn that pretty quick, like as soon as you start drinking, like, you know, as a young person. And so I think like, to me, like, even though he probably like wouldn't view it this way, like, I think that's the thing that is difficult for me. Cause like by choosing to drink that much, you're choosing to not hang out with me the next day.
Yeah.
So.
And choosing to make you technically cancel the plans. I think that's the part right. That like is, I hear your, why you're irritated. And it just reminds me, again, I'm going to compare these things, but this, I don't know what's the latest update. So, but when I would like, I had a few situations like this, but like be in a situationship and like have to do this work for someone else rather than them just like manning the fuck up and saying, whether it was like, I can't hang today, or like, I really don't want a relationship. Like, not, that's not your situation. I'm thinking of a specific thing with me where I would like have to do the work eventually. And I think sometimes men are so afraid of, even on more micro levels, like canceling plans or being a bad man or being like a, you know, the kind of men that memes are made about, that they don't end up just being more straightforward. And they make women, again, super heteronormative here, but do some of the heavy lifting around that. And that's frustrating because it shouldn't be on one person more than the other. Everyone's allowed to fuck up for sure and get hungover, but he should have just been like, he should have just made the decision. He put it on you the same way a lot of men I dated put the decision of like having the relationship, define the relationship talk on me. And I was always too timid to like have that talk, which was its own problem. But anyway, it just, it like hearing you, like I, that pisses me off. I feel like
it's been interesting for me to like have like literally all the possible emotions that could ever exist about this. And I think I'm to the point that I definitely want to talk it through and at least like hear. I don't know. Like, not that in my head, I'm like, you know, oh, I want to hear him say like, right, I don't think about you in those moments. And even though obviously he would like never say that or admit that, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to. And I feel like I'm also hesitant to say that I don't want to completely write him off, because I can imagine people saying like, oh my gosh, no, you deserve better. And like, yes, I know that I deserve better from this person. I guess I'm not sure that I want to 100% say that I can't get better from this person or receive more from him. But I think part of it, which is a perfect chef's kiss segue, like, I think maybe a huge issue is like, I think we talked about it before, but the first month that we knew each other, we were completely over text because he was quarantining with his parents over the holidays. Open, vulnerable, and caring. Like, I didn't have to do any of the work. Like, that's the kind of, I'm like, you know, a person that wakes up at 6 a.m. and is always doing the work. Like, I didn't have to do anything. And it was just so crazy. In the beginning, I was also like, oh my gosh, like, calm down, stop texting me. But it was also, I think, because he was so open and vulnerable, it allowed me to be in a way that I had never been in a relationship, and especially like that quickly. And so, and it was, I don't know, it was just like another world. And he would be like so open, like not every day, but like I always knew where his feelings were. He was like, you know, I'm really feeling this, I'm really into you, and like all these different things, and like, I miss you, this and this and that. And I never had to question anything. And I'm not saying that like somebody can't be different from that, or that like, you know, is going to be like that. Like, you know, I'm not always going to be like on. And obviously maybe it's easier to be on like that over text, which is maybe what we're going to get into in a second. But I just can't, the way that he was like so into it, like every day, and just like so on with me, like, I just can't imagine that that's a front. Like, I guess for me, I want to know like what, like if he's going down this train track, like what made him switch to the other track, that it's not that anymore. Like, are you scared? Are you scared? Like, you know, or are you really not feeling this, which would be fine, which gets into the like the fuck yes, fuck no thing, which I'm very like, you know, much a supporter of. Like, if you're not going to be like, fuck yeah, I want to see this person, then like, let's not do this. Like, I'm not interested in somebody that's like, you know, like so, like, I don't want a mediocre life. I want a fantastic, fun, and colorful life. And like, right now, that's not what like I have with him. But it was that in the beginning. So I guess I'm just curious. I'd like to discuss it more to figure out what happened and to see if we can get back to that.
Totally. And it'll be interesting to see, like, what kind of energy he brings to that discussion. You know, if he brings openness and willingness to, you know, adapt, or if he brings, like, defensiveness, or if he brings, like, you know, shut down, like, male shutdownedness. I guess women shut down all the time, myself very much included. shutdownedness.
But yeah,
like that'll, I feel like, be an interesting part of that too.
Like just not wanting to talk about it, smoothing it. Again, I'm talking about my own old experiences, but just like acting like everything is fine and almost making me feel like I'm going to be, this doesn't sound like it will happen to you, Carlin, but like then making me feel like I'm kind of nutty if I bring this thing up because now we're hanging out and it's fine again. I don't know. It's, right. I'm thinking about also what we'll chat about. I just love that you captured it as like the train track switched and what happened. That is the most universal early relationship question, I feel. It's so frustrating because it feels unanswerable. And it's not, you're so smart. You're a great reader of other humans. Like, it doesn't make any sense sometimes too, I feel. I don't know if you feel that way, Carlin, but that's like how I would feel. I'm a decent read. Like, what went on here? You know?
Yeah. I feel like I just don't, when anybody, like any person in life, whether it's like a friend or a coworker, like somebody like that chooses to make things hard, when it affects another person, because like at this point, like for him, like, are you even having fun? Like, that's what I want to ask him. Like, what are you even getting out of this? If it's like, you know, such a pain to like, you know, fit me into your schedule or whatever. But I just feel like when I generally don't like it when people like have like their problems or like issues and then like put them in your lap and it's like, oh, do you mind dealing for like with this for me? And they'd be like, what about this fucking face makes you think that I want to do that? Like, I feel like please God, let this be the last time that I ask someone like, do I look like the person that wants to get fucked with? Because I don't. I don't know. There's nothing about me that says, please fuck with me and make things difficult for me. Like, and yeah. I've only been straightforward from the beginning. So like, why you feel the need to like be on that track is confusing to me, but I would love for somebody to explain it. I think that's the other thing. Like, I can sit here and have like all the emotions in the world and like figure out how I'm actually feeling. And I take the time and I do that work so that I can communicate clearly with someone. But then when there are people that don't do that, that don't have like that emotional intelligence, I guess, like, I just feel like I don't have time for that. And I can't tell if that's him because he was so good and like open in the beginning, almost to the point that I like don't know how you could like fake that. And so just trying to figure out like what that is, because like that dude is like worth the work. Chicago, Mr. Old Fashioned, not so much. But like, if there's something there about like what's going on in his life or like with his family that's like making things difficult, like, let's talk through it. Because I read this quote, because I love quotes, by this poet that said, she says, I don't want to look back in 5 years' time and think we could have been magnificent, but I was afraid. In 5 years, I want to tell of how fear tried to cheat me out of the best thing in life, and I didn't let it. And I thought that was like, I feel like that's just so my energy. Like, when I do things like this, like, even if it doesn't work out, like, fuck fear. Like, it is not going to win today. Like, I'm going to say whatever I need to say and like confront this person. Like, even if it's not going to amount to anything, we're not going to be together. Like, I need to just battle fear. So like the next time it comes around, like, it gets easier and easier and easier. Like, I don't want to cower into this person that's just like, you know, oh, right. Like, he, you know, it didn't work and I was scared, but I could have said anything. Like, I don't want to do the whole like, oh, well, what if I had, you know, what if I had just said, like, I'm just going to say it. Because also in movies, when people like just don't tell each other how they feel, I'm like, oh my gosh, just say it. They're right there. And so I feel like, and I don't think it has the energy of like, you know, oh, always giving somebody like a second chance or a third chance. Like, I think people do need chances because not everybody is going to be like on that level of like, these are my emotions and I want you to know them and this is how I feel. Like, I would say the majority of people aren't like that, actually. But yeah, if I could just battle fear in this instance and continue to battle it for the rest of my life, because I'll have to, then I'm going to fucking do that work.
It's such good work. Like, yeah. The amount of time, like, no regrets, whatever. Of course, I have a million regrets in my life. But when I think specifically about the dating I did in my 20s, I was so – I cowered always from just having the conversation. And then that ends up, you know, actually wasting time even if you get the answer you don't want. And I think it's like – it's so much harder to do than even, you know – we all listening to this podcast about dating probably think we've all done a version of it or not done it. It's so scary and hard and vulnerable, but like that is the move when you're dating any relationship. Like just fuck fear, ask, like get vulnerable and get clarity, because then yeah. everything gets better, even if it doesn't in that immediate moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll see.
It's like, I have no, there's no part of me that's like an adrenaline junkie, but like, I feel like there's something similar to like bungee jumping or something like that, yeah. where it's like, there's fear, but the relief you feel, or like skydiving, shit that I will never do. And I actually think it's insane to do. So it's not the best. No, I get why people do it, but like the anticipation of the moment is the worst part. But like you get this release from actually being, but from actually saying what you feel. And like yeah. if you can just get through like the little bit of fear. I'm saying this as a like, because I regret never doing this when I was younger, ever. Like the fear kept me from like what would then have been the relief of like knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I still have. There's still like people I had crushes on where I'm like, I'll never know how they felt. They didn't like me. But you know,
you never know.
Those were purely like people I had crushes on who like I was friends with who just did. They just absolutely didn't like me. But you know, also I'm going to marry one of those people. So you don't actually ever know.
That's so true. Know.
That's
Liza.
So true.
Whoa.
Yeah. Although he didn't have a crush. Carlin knew, but she has the site. Carlin knew before Jeff and I knew. The thing is he definitely did not have a crush on me when I had a crush fair. On him. So that's it's fair. Not the most applicable. But sometimes the intuition is correct. All right. Fair. Well, great update. We will, you know, proud of you for saying the things you feel and mm-hmm. you know, not confronting, that's not the right word, but being like, we're gonna figure this out together. You're not just gonna like disappear or like just be a like flaky person to me. Like I'm not okay with that. Like I think it's just very impressive to be like, that's not how you treat me, sir. Let's take a quick break and then we're gonna be back with some listener questions that are related to this similar a similar topic, sort of tangentially or not, but we'll make them related.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, and we are back in action. We have two lovely questions and attached text conversations from two different listeners in the secret Facebook group that we got permission to read. I just like to say that always because I'm afraid of being an asshole. So I will read this first one. Okay. I've been seeing this guy for about 2 months now, and I do really like him. I'm not sure exactly how I feel after this text conversation. As background, I had texted him the night before while drinking, saying I really liked him and was thinking about him, and asked how he felt about me, and he said it was a more sober conversation. We really only hang out once, maybe twice a week, and have slept together a few times, but no sleepover really. I just wanted to determine his level of interest in me and vibe check if he was sleeping with or dating other people, which I didn't really get there, so she didn't really get that response. I don't mind spending a little more time getting to know him and if he can get there, but I'm also not trying to get played or have him actually be sleeping with a bunch of other people in a pandemic. Thoughts? Super relatable already, but now we will read the text conversation. Liza, I will be our lovely listener and you will be
perfect.
Him. Potential fuckboy. Okay. Hey, I want to follow up about last night and see how you're feeling.
Hey, thanks for not making me triple text. So I'm very bad at expressing my emotions and I'm relatively guarded as a person because I've been hurt fairly bad in the past. That said, I'm very cautious emotionally and it takes me a lot to really open myself up to someone. I really enjoy spending time with you and like you as a person. I do find myself thinking about you through the week. However, I'm not 100% there yet emotionally. That doesn't mean I can't get there or won't, just that I'm not there yet. Does that make sense?
I really appreciate you opening up and sharing that with me. It makes complete sense. I'm sorry you've been hurt in the past. I have too, so I know that me saying I wouldn't hurt you isn't something that will resonate with you right now. However, I will say that I do like you, and I'm currently not talking to anyone else. I'm not in a rush or trying to pressure anything by any means. I just more wanted to see where your head was at and see if we're on the same page. Smiley emoji.
Thanks for understanding. Yeah, this is why I wasn't trying to get into it last night. Haha. I'd like to continue the way things are going. Smiley emoji.
Okay.
I think that's a very reasonable interaction.
Yeah. Carlin, I'm curious about your thoughts because you haven't seen this at all yet.
I guess I thought there would be more. I guess I would not feel like full. I would feel like I thought that was, I feel like we ordered the appetizer and didn't come yet.
Yeah.
So I guess I feel like it wasn't resolved. Like, I guess I like that the given circumstances were like set up and that is good, but like how he says at the end, like, I'd like how to continue how things are going. Like, well, how are they going right now? Like, what are we doing? Like,
yep.
So like, you know, right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. And I have an update to this, but I'm not going to share it quite yet. Okay. I'm with you, Carlin. I think my first gut impulse is like, man, you are doing more of the heavy lifting to our listener a little bit. Like, you knew where you were. You brought it up. You brought it up while drinking. He didn't reply super well, so you brought it up again, which, like, even just taking that step, I don't know if you felt any, like, oh, I was just texting because I was drinking. But basically, you're just sharing how you feel, and I think that's great. He then, in his first long paragraph, seems to be, like, giving some context and being legitimate and responding to you, taking care to respond to you, writing. It's, when you look at the text, it's a very long text. That's all really great. He's not blowing you off. But then, to your point, Carlin, after the next interaction where you kind of raise the stakes to get a little more clarity, he doesn't answer your question about not seeing other people. He says, I'd like to continue how things are going. And this, I feel like, is an example of, you know, something I just feel like is a theme, pandemic or not, but I'm really more and more feeling like it's exacerbated by this pandemic. Like, this being really, like, I'm not saying this is the situation here, but someone sharing some vulnerability and emotions to keep you in their life, but not actually addressing the vulnerabilities and emotions you shared with them in any kind of direct way. And it feels pen pally. It feels like, where's the action? Actions speak louder than words. That's like the theme of this to me. And
yeah.
And also the, like, this is such a problem with text communication in general, which I think is really relevant to pandemic dating, which is like, you can't, it's in some ways it's nice because you have everything in like text form. You can re-reference it and look at it and like analyze which questions he asked and answered and which you didn't. But it's also really hard to follow up on stuff or to like ask to deep dive into anything because it can feel too much to be like, okay, just to reiterate, like I want, like in person, you'd be like, okay, yeah, but like, are you seeing other people? If that's really what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. But over, it's harder to obviously explore nuances over text and also harder to like follow up on something if somebody evades a question, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas in person, I think it's harder for people to skirt those questions in the first place. And it's easier for you to be like, wait, but you didn't really answer my question.
Yeah. The skirting of questions, the skirting of lack of clarity. Like, this is what I think, maybe I was the one who's like, let's read these. Like, it's just like thematically was very present in a lot of my dating life and with really nice men who weren't total assholes. It's just this, like, rather than just addressing it. And again, I wasn't even ever as direct as this listener was, especially, you know, the other comment that resonated with me. It's like, I don't want to put pressure on you or, you know, that disclaimer, which I think is honestly okay to have because I would appreciate a disclaimer like that too. But actually, you're at this point, 2 months in, you're allowed to ask that without that disclaimer as well. Like, I think it's fine that you included it, but I think most everyone, again, listening to this podcast has felt afraid. We've had so many questions about this. Like, I don't want to be the pushy girl. But, like, F that. Yeah. It's okay to want clarity on where you stand with someone.
Yeah. I think if somebody's penetrating you, you can be as pushy as you want. Like,
yep.
I think, yes. And I think I still need to learn that myself too. Like, I hate the way that I think we as women like censor ourselves, because it's like, okay, but I don't want to be to come off like as like the clingy girl or whatever, or like, you know, that's super needy. I just want to be like, I just want to be like, you know, the cool, like, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, it's this. But also, like, if I'm doing this kind of work for you, and especially in a pandemic, like allowing you like a certain like access level, like, I, fuck yeah, I'm going to put this pressure on you, because I'm looking out for number one, which is still me.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And like, it's also, well, I get the appeal of being the cool girl, and I've felt that pressure myself, and like even still do sometimes. It's actually like so much cooler to be, I sound like a fucking guidance counselor being like, you know what's cool, saying no to drugs.
These glasses are really doing it too for this particular
We may need to screenshot.
I bought some 1980s serial killer glasses,
which I love them, but in this moment, like, just as soon as you started talking, I was like, this was like really perfect. I just wish you had shoulder pads.
It's on, so twisted. But it is so much cooler to like be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like, who do we like on reality TV shows, and who are we drawn to in life, and who do we gravitate to? Like, who do we in life think of as like badass? It's all people who are like confidently themselves.
Yep.
And it's really fucking hard, but like, if you're not the cool girl, you don't need, you know, it's really tricky. The trickiest part of it is in romantic relationships, because we've all been conditioned. Like, there are a million depictions of like the crazy, needy, like over the top, emotional, like nagging woman. And there's not a lot of depictions of just like cool, confident women who like ask for what they want and like don't accept less than that. Like, that's just not in a lot of movies and TV shows, because it's not that interesting, because there's less drama with that. But like, it's so, okay, well, everybody knows my feelings on this. That's what's cool, kids.
And the update was, by the way, I kicked the man to the curb because he was indeed seeing other people and threw lame excuses not to see me again. Like, really good for you, to the listener. Like, here's the thing, and this is just what I want to pull out. And again, I'm sorry that it's always like centered on my own experiences, but something I used to do, and I would rationalize, like, especially like 2 months into something, exchanges like this or certain needs that weren't being met, I'd be like, well, but look, he just texted me this long thing, or but look, he replied at all. He's still replying to me. And like, I think it's really good to check in with yourself on like, but are my direct questions about if he's seeing other people being answered, or just are my like needs, wants, again, they don't have to be like, I was gonna say Romeo, but what a terrible example. You know, they don't have to be Prince Charming, also terrible, royals, we hate them. I don't know. They don't have to be perfect in everything at first, but if you're like basic, if you have this thing that you're trying to gather from them and they're not willing to, you know, share anything with you at all, yeah, fuck if they've responded. Fuck if they've even spent what looks like, you know, 20 minutes to craft a response to you. If they're not actually responding to you or caring about you, again, this is just me yelling at my younger self. Like, it's not worth it. Because this guy clearly spent a bunch of time crafting a text and definitely liked you and was having fun with you, but was seeing other people and he couldn't just share that. Like, he was allowed to be seeing other people. He couldn't be honest with you. So good riddance. Thank God you didn't end up with the guy who can't be honest with you. I'm sorry. Just got on a soapbox.
Well, it's like that soft boy shit. You know, it's like that one. Carlin, have you heard the term soft boy?
No.
It's not like so in use anymore, but I feel like when we were like, when the term fuck boy first came on the scene is very much when like Kimmy and I both had like some fuckboy shit happening. And then the term softboy kind of was a like a subheading of fuckboy, which is a softboy is basically a fuckboy who shares his feelings. Mm-hmm. So you don't realize he's a fuckboy. And it's like, it's funny because it's reductive of that type of person, but I think it does speak to a certain type of male who, like, does... It's not like he's a dick. It's just he's still not putting you first. Like, that's, I think, you know, this guy, I think, it's like, he's clearly not a sociopath. He's like, but he's not telling you that he's dating other people. And you're asking. So it's like, you're asking. He's not answering. It doesn't matter if he's being nice in this one respect.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to have had the, like, we read it. I didn't know the update. I hadn't seen the update she posted. So I had, like, so you read it and then you have the thoughts and then you read the update. Like, it's interesting to, because my first impulse is like, oh, he's trying and this is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to get down on, like, and especially, and women do it too. I've done really crappy things too.
Oh, I've fucking done this and I've been a monster about it in ways that have hurt people. Yeah.
So the next one I think we should do, it's like this, it's a similar thing happening way earlier. And just if, like, how am I supposed to read this text versus what happened in real life? So Liza, should we jump in?
Sure.
Do you want me to read?
You want me to read it?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
I'll read it. Okay. Help, please. We met up on Saturday and it went well. We stayed at brunch for 2 hours. Then on Monday, he said he'd initiate the next date since I asked him to brunch, and I've heard nothing back regarding another date. We've texted this whole week after work, but we're both busy during the day and are not great at replying. So it's only a few texts back and forth in the evenings. And to be honest, I'm getting bored of how we communicate with each other through text since we seem to get to know each other much better in person. But there's no sign of that happening. He said it's a stressful week to hit targets for the month, so I get maybe he's just stressed and doesn't really want to focus on planning a date, but should I just let it go? Okay, now we're going to the texts, and I'll be our lovely listener. Oh, that's cool. You could do that. I had the worst schedules with science class. We were never able to have days off, like some other majors, and kind of tight-knit, but we all pretty much knew each other, but that also meant everyone was in your business. Ha ha. No, this whole week is going to be bad. I'm sorry, brownie face. Also, just letting you know that if you want to go out again, you have to ask since I initiated our first one. Girl with hand holding up hair emoji, crying with tears, laughing with tears.
Like,
emoji.
It's being said jokingly.
Yeah.
But also.
Yeah. But yeah. Also. That's right.
But also, like, Carlin, it's your turn. And he loved that text.
Yes, that's important. He loved.
Huh. He hearted it.
And then he said, I don't like people in my business. Haha. This week is what separates the men from the boys, we say. Crying laughing face emoji. I think we're missing some context here in the specific conversation, but anyway. I'm him again.
Yeah, I think it's about their majors and their schools and yeah.
And then I'm him again. Don't you worry. I will fully initiate it on my end this time. Like flirty smiley face, like peaceful smiley face. But basically TLDR, like, are you going to ask me out? Like, absolutely I'm going to fucking ask you out. And so the question is just like, again, what's being said to me on text and all the texting we're doing isn't matching up with like what I want to be doing in real life with this person if it's going to go anywhere.
Okay, so they had the in-person date and he was like, yes, I'm going to schedule another one. And then how many days passed of like, them talking after work, but not that much because
he had to hit his
targets.
It was a Saturday date. Yeah. Monday, he said he'd initiate the next date since she asked him to brunch. Texted the whole week after work. So it's like, it's the next weekend, basically.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I would be like jazzed. Like he's gonna do it, right?
Yeah. And I also think you, like, this listener, like, firmly put the ball in his court. Like, there was no, like, unclarity. What? There was no, what's confusion? The opposite of clarity? There's no confusion about. So.
Yes, love her. She, like.
Yeah. And made a joke, killing
don't
it.
Ever stop doing that. Do that for the rest of your life, as long as it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's all great, right? And a lot of people in the comments and our impulse – I have an update on this one too. Our impulse is like, yeah, ooh, he sounds busy. It's been a week. Like, yeah, cool. But I feel like this listener has a good sense of things and just like in her gut was feeling a little bit like he said he would do something. He hasn't. I'm mentioning it again. He's not being direct about scheduling a next time with me. Like, I do really think people who really like you are going to want to see you in person again. And I know the pandemic complicates that, but this is an interesting example where we're like, great, he's going to schedule it. And then when I asked her if we could read this, she had an update. And she said, I'm attaching the last messages I sent so you can see how it ended. I guess he wasn't actually as interested as he said. Good thing I never saved his number. LOL. I'm with you, girl, except I used – that's how I ended up going on a date with someone – Carlin, my first date with Tony for this podcast, date 13. I thought I was meeting someone else because I hadn't saved numbers in my phone. So – super. So I actually am pro saving numbers, but I hear you because I used to also not save numbers as long as possible to not get attached. Same. Oh my God. Like, it's so weird, the psychology. Anyway, so it's clear from the top of this conversation that there are attempts for other plans and he's like, it's all good. Like I said, I have that birthday thing, so I don't know if I'll be able to squeeze it in. And then I feel like the next text is, sorry, Liz, I'll just kind of sum these up. But the next text
go for it.
Yeah, that's at 8, right? Like, she's basically like, okay, well, here's a legitimate time. I think we could both meet up. And then I really like this. It's like our theme of our text. She didn't just like let him ignore the last text about plans. She wrote, I also want to be honest with you. It seems like you're really busy, which I totally get. Work sounds stressful right now. It also seems like you're not really motivated to make plans with me, even though you've told me you're interested. It's hard to get to know someone when 3 weeks go by in between dates. Oh, yes. Sorry. 3 weeks later. I'd like to get to know you better, but I don't want to keep being the one to bring up plans or checking in to see if you're free. And that's how it ended. So, I mean, I just
– fuck yeah.
Even though it's 3 weeks in, like, I really appreciate just fucking saying your piece because, like, what we just talked about. Then you know. He doesn't reply to that. Oh, you have your answers so clearly. Yeah. Though it sucks. Sorry. I'm not trying to be insensitive.
No, it's tough, but it's badass to just be like, hey, this is what – I mean, it's similarly badass to the text you sent, Carlin, of like, we got to – you know, this is how I'm feeling. We got to figure it out. Like, now you can respond to me with, like, the energy you want to bring into this.
And one thing about Mr. Old Fashioned that I forgot to say, he did say he's like, generally, I'm happy to talk like about us and I would love to hear what you have to say. But like right now, I just can't make it a priority because like the thing that was happening with his family. So I guess it's like nice to have that like intention stated. But I think what's the thing about your listener to me that is just so frustrating because like when and even with Mr. Old Fashioned, but like any guy, and maybe I feel like my emotions very intensely, but I think like also and maybe this is rare, but like when I like someone, like I like them, like if it especially if the first date, whatever number it is, it goes well, I'm already thinking like, okay, yeah, I could do Tuesday, let's do Tuesday. Like it doesn't, I'm not saying that people don't need time to like get back to you, but I think there's a line between like, you know, having that interest, but it's like, you know, actually having the intention and then like how much, I think what it boils down to me. And I think the frustration I feel for Mr. Old Fashioned is like dating me is you making time for me in your life. Like that's all it is, dude. Like that's the only way that it's going to be. I'm not asking to be like priority number one over everything because like we haven't known each other that long for that to actually be like the case, but I gotta rank there somewhere. I can't like be at the bottom and like only see you if it's like this listener like every 3 weeks and like, you know, you're still gonna, like I just always think that's interesting when guys are like that. And I guess it's fine if they're seeing other people, but I feel like when a guy says like, oh, I'm interested, it's like, but are you? Like I don't say that I'm interested in someone unless I'm interested in them and I'm like ready to go, like let's do this. And I don't mean marriage, and I think sometimes guys think that it's like whoa, I mean I'm interested, but like let's slow the roll. And it's like, right, but me being willing to go all in is just me, I will make time for you because that's what it takes. Like that's what's the point of like being in the car and not going anywhere? Like then I'm just gonna get out of the fucking car.
Same.
Yeah.
Because right. It's interesting. As I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about, like, I think 2 weeks ago or last week, we had not a similar question, but something where I was like, give this guy a chance, you know, like, don't write him off. Because I remember that, you know, because of this podcast and just, like, wanting to go on lots of dates and knowing if I got into grad school, I'd probably be moving to the opposite coast. I was closest to any of this kind of behavior myself when I was dating Tony. And he talks about it and he's like, you would go this long without, like, making a plan with me. And it was shitty of me. And I think it took, like, it's just another lesson of, like, he brought that up to me. And then I realized, oh, I can't be fucking around because I really like him. So bringing, I guess, this is not really super well thought out, but Carlin, you bringing up, like, having these talks, same with these listeners, like, saying your piece, like, it is a good test. For me, it, like, got me out of my own way because I was just kind of, I agree that I wasn't doing this with any of the other dates. That's the thing. I was going on first dates because I liked one person, you know? I was going on a couple other second dates, but it's, if I'm in the car, I'm in the car. I think, you know, if I was, like, quote unquote dating like a man, if that's what this podcast was for me, I felt like I was dating more than one person at a time, which was new for me and what a lot of men I had dated were doing. I think maybe sometimes if I'm giving men or women who date like this, like, a lot, the benefit of the doubt, maybe they're just in the habit of dating a lot of people and, like, afraid to commit. So you do need to bring it up, you know, or maybe they're afraid to commit for other reasons, or I'm babbling now, but I guess I'm just trying to understand the other side of it. But I really think when you have this kind of, it's not really an ultimatum, but a, hey, are you into this or not? And they don't reply well, that you've got your answer. That sounds obvious, yeah. But you've got it.
Yeah. What are other takeaways as a wrap up of our texting and digital absenteeism conversation? I'm trying to think of the right like phraseology.
I think what's interesting is, like, some of the good things about these texts from these guys that were like, oh, like, oh my gosh, like, the heart thing, he loved it. Like, I think we take that as, like, the action, like, when we say that actions speak louder than words. I don't think that's, like, I think what I'm learning here is, like, that's not actually an action, it's just the talk. Which, I mean, obviously it is because it's texting, but there's something about texting because, like, it's not just, like, words in the air. It's words on my phone so I can refer back to it. He loved this message, and he used that emoji. Like, I have it right here. Like, these are the actions. Yeah. And I think, like, those, which really sucks for me because I'm relying on a lot of those for Mr. Old Fashioned. But, like, you know, those aren't the actions. Like, that's, like, that's not the meat that's, like, going to get you through, like, this whole situation. That's, like, it's barely even, like, you know, parsley on a dish. Like, you know, it's not enough. Yeah
It's like the lemon juice squirt. It's like a lemon juice
but I don't think you, okay, we this is our theme, Carlin, but, like, I don't think you have to be like, fuck, because, like, it's all different. I feel like you just can't
know. These different. Three things are not they're the same
different. They're all different. But, like, when,
but I think that the general takeaway you just put together is really important, which is, like, text is text and action is action. And, like, being, like, any of these scenarios with bad texting doesn't mean that it won't trans, like texting being bad doesn't necessarily mean the action won't be there. It's just, like, the meaning we're all placing on text, especially now when we're isolated, is higher than normal. And it's important to, like, take a step back. This is my takeaway from our digital absenteeism conversation. I'm trying to make it happen.
I mean, I don't know. I felt like all three things we talked about lightly related to this are just so relatable, not to just use the same words over and over. I don't know. I just, if the other takeaway is, like, you're not alone. This is all so weird, and texting just is so complicated and weird, and, like, I feel like you both blew my mind in talking about how, like, just the fact of referring back to something, even in friendships, even in someone not replying, there's just so much more weight when you can go back and check it. Yeah. And
God, and it's time stamped, and you know, it's the whole, yeah. And you can screenshot it. Like, it's just, I feel like we set.
It gets like entered into evidence.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I would. I
so like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, refer to exhibit. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's a housewives reunion. You know, bring out the receipts, Monique on Potomac. And like,
honestly, I'm totally that person. Like, so in my like, I have a like a Mr. Old Fashioned's notes, and I've like wrote down everything, and then I like put the screenshots in there because I was like, it's like I'm preparing my, I'm not a lawyer, so this word's probably deposition. Like, I don't know, like my argument, like I'm like ready for court and I'm like opening my briefcase and I'm like that lawyer lady for The Undoing. She was very good. I was so like good. Sad that she like, that he was a murderer because I was like, oh, but your lawyer's so good.
Do you know she was the original Hermione in the West End of the Harry Potter plays?
Really?
Blew my mind.
Taught me crazy.
Blew my mind.
She's shout so out to talented. Her.
Oh, she's so good.
Those fucking British actors, yeah, man.
They know. They know how to do it. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, and I totally do the whole evidence thing. And really, like, I blame Whitney Houston and her drug addiction. She's like, let me see the receipts. Because that's every time when I'm like in an argument, it's like, and I've got the receipts and I've got the timestamp. So don't tell me that I'm crazy. And like, as if. I just hate to like be in that mindset, but then also like, would I have to do that if like dishonesty existed? Probably not.
Yeah.
If we were all just vulnerable, probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Or if we all could like clearly communicate about our needs and our feelings, yeah. Where we're at, you know, like if we could just be like, this is how I feel. How do you feel? Okay. Right. We feel differently or we feel the same, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. God. Emotions, they're the worst.
They suck, but also they're good. But also I'm tired of having them.
Yeah, can I just have a day, like,
right,
songs?
Yeah, like truly. Yeah, this is why she smokes weed. And she is me, sorry. Bam.
Spoiler alert,
she is me.
I'm talking about me. It's me.
Oh. Anyway. Or drinks wine. You know, insert
activities.
For some people, it's running.
Oh, wow.
Gross.
Pas moi. Not here. She is not
me. I'm sitting next to a piece of exercise equipment that I own that I haven't used in 3 weeks. Maybe longer.
Well.
Anyway, guys. I feel like we really got to something here.
I do too. I don't know.
We did it.
Thank you, Carlin. Thank you for sharing and being here and bringing your wisdom. I feel like we haven't like gotten to something on an episode in a minute. And this feels good.
Yeah.
Let us know good. If that's true. Anyone listening.
I feel very accomplished. Like, I feel like I don't need to do like my job tomorrow, like my actual job, because I did so much work today.
We did it.
Already did it.
Doing
check.
The work. All right, guys. Well, we love you, listeners, and we will be back soon with more eps, more guests, more Carlin, more consumption.
Yes, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Carlin, for being here. Thank you all for being little gems in our lives. And go on a date if you want to.
Go on a date.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.